Good evening, everyone, and thank you for your presence here tonight for our contemplative worship service. We'll hear two scriptures that connect similarly to last week in terms of the purification of the emotional center in preparation for our Lenten journey, which begins next Wednesday. But tonight we'll hear a special gospel that always reminds me of God's grace, that even Jesus couldn't get it right on the first time. Let's take a moment in the silence, ask the Holy Spirit to be our teacher and comforting presence tonight through the silence, that each of us would be given what we need, and that through this service our world would grow in love and consciousness. Amen.
Staying in the place of quiet, let us listen with the ears of the heart for God's word. The first reading is taken from James chapter 1. Know this, my dear brothers and sisters. Everyone should be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For anger does not accomplish the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filth and evil excess, and humbly welcome the word that has been planted in you and is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his own face in a mirror. He sees himself, then goes off, and promptly forgets what he looked like. But the one who peers into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres, and is not a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, such a one shall be blessed in what he does. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, his religion in vain. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. The word of the Lord. The second reading is taken from Psalm 15. He who walks blamelessly and does justice, who thinks the truth in his heart, and slanders not with his tongue, who harms not his fellow man, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor, by whom the reprobate is despised, while he honors those who fear the Lord, who lends not his money at usury, and accepts no bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be disturbed. The word of the Lord. The gospel reading is taken from Mark chapter 8. When Jesus and his disciples arrived at Bethsaida, people brought to him a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. Putting spittle on his eyes, he laid hands on the man and asked, "Do you see anything?" Looking up, the man replied, "I see people looking like trees and walking." Then he laid hands on the man's eyes a second time, and he saw clearly. His sight was restored, and he could see everything distinctly. Then he sent him home and said, "Do not even go into the village." The Gospel of our Lord and Savior.
There's a connection between these scripture readings in a very meaningful way, that the power of God's word in our lives, that wisdom influence that brings healing and guidance, is an energy of truth. And we can speak that truth into other people's lives, or we can speak other kinds of energies into other people's lives, like the energy of anger. But to be blameless and unstained from the world is a very interesting invitation that the book of James gives us. And I think about this less in terms of morality and more in terms of where we're giving our attention. And there is one aspect or one sense that we get stained by more comprehensively and consistently than any other sense, and that is by what we see, by what influences we allow and give our attention to through our sight, our physical eyes. And to acknowledge that what we see is oftentimes affecting how we're feeling. And it may be after the fact that we have taken an image in, or taken a show in, or taken a movie in, or taken an event in, and it's only after the fact that we have emotional indigestion, or even spiritual indigestion, because of that influence that we've taken in through our physical sight. So perhaps there's something there about both what is coming out of our mouths to bless other people through truth, and also what's coming into our eyes, our sight, our sense of sight, that helps us stay unstained, that is to say, what we're giving our attention to and the influences all around us. And we don't have to be too serious or make this over complicated. Just think about what you look at throughout the day, what you read, what you watch. It's very simple. And notice the connection. Notice the connection between how you feel and what you see, what you let into you, your field of perception. And Jesus' healing of the blind man is a very interesting invitation for us to ponder what this might mean on the cusp of Lent. It's the application of God's grace in our lives. It's the overall idea, is the application of God's grace in our lives and our receptivity to the application of God's grace in our lives is required for our healing. And not only just a one-time application, but in this case, twice. And I suggest that it's a twice daily application in the silence of meditation. But Jesus' healing of this blind man has some lessons for all of us, I think, in terms of the principles of the application of divine grace in our lives. First of all, other people beg on behalf of the blind man. This is always a good indication of where the application of grace is needed in our lives, is when other people point it out. Say, "This guy needs to be healed. Can you help him, Lord?" When other people are praying for you in a particular area, that's a good indication of where the application of God's grace is needed in our lives. And our closest friends spiritually can help us see those aspects that need healing. In some cases, it's very clear. In some cases, there's no question. We need the application of God's grace in our life in this particular area, at this particular season of our life. The second principle is that Jesus takes him by the hand and goes outside of the city. And this is an invitation to recognize that the application of God's grace will oftentimes require us moving to a place that is outside of our normal activity. That is to say, a place of solitude or silence. And so many of us have experienced the divine healing, the divine therapist, the application of grace that comes through the silence and whatnot on retreats or in time in nature or when we have moved outside of the normal sphere of our day-to-day lives. It's a real principle that Jesus demonstrates. And oftentimes it requires someone else leading us by the hand. That is to say, it's hard to go on a retreat by ourselves. It's much easier to go on a centering prayer retreat with a group of other people. And that container is like Jesus holding of the hand, come with me. And so the invitation to go on retreats is an invitation to apply divine grace in each of our lives and to be led as if by the hand into a place where healing is more possible. That's not to say that healing doesn't happen in our day-to-day life, but there is something special going on here that Jesus is demonstrating, taking this blind person by the hand and taking him outside of the city where all the normal distractions are and where many things could get in the way of the actual healing taking place. One of which maybe could be performance anxiety of the healer. Maybe it is easier for not only the healed to be healed in solitude, but also perhaps it's easier for healers to heal in a place of solitude and silence. Maybe so. Every therapist I've ever gone to has been in a very private room with usually some sort of noisemaker outside the door so no one could hear what was said. Perhaps that's there for the counselee, but perhaps also for the counselor. You know, when you're less self-conscious of the words you're offering or the presence you're offering or the gift of God's grace you're offering to someone else, when no one else is listening, you're more free to be the energetic conduit of that divine healing. I know that in my own office, if I'm on the phone with someone and my door is open and other people are right there and there are two offices right by my office, I'm much more self-conscious about what I'm saying and I don't have that free flow sometimes because I'm aware that I'm being listened to. And so I have to get up and shut the door, and all of a sudden, the second I shut the door, I feel more freedom. I probably think I speak for all of us who can identify with what I'm saying. And then the third principle that Jesus offers us in terms of the application of divine grace that leads to healing in our lives is this profound image of him taking spittle, which is saliva, and placing the saliva on the blind man's eyes. What in the world? Many commentators have spent lots of ink trying to describe what this means. Well, it could mean so many different things. On an esoteric level, this is a very rich image, but we only have a few more minutes. So let me just start with this and see if this whets your appetite. Spittle is as close to the tongue as anything can get. And so spittle is the representation of the word that Jesus speaks. It's connected to the tongue that the book of James speaks about, that can bring healing through truth-telling and also disruption and damage through anger. So perhaps the spittle is a symbol for the word of God, the word of wisdom, the power of the word that was in the beginning with God, that is a part of God, that nothing can come into being apart from that word. And the word isn't just the spoken word, it represents the rationality and the template of order that creates beauty and order out of chaos. That is the principle of reason that holds all things together. That's all embodied in that Greek word for word, logos. So perhaps spittle is the vice regent or the representation of the word of Christ. And it's that word being applied literally, physically onto that man's eyes that does something that conveys the energetic healing of the word of God, the living word of God that brings healing. You know, you got the written word of God here, which is why I placed it here. Because the spoken word of God prevails over the written word of God. The written word of God, like all the written words of the scriptures, different religions, is dead apart from the spirit. And you can use the written word of God to kill people and hurt people. So the written word of God is important, but it is preceded and superior to the spoken word is superior to this written word. And so Jesus healing the spittle on the man's eyes is a representation of this power. And then he does something, I think, which is the fourth principle. He actually uses his hands and touches the man's eyes and the spittle. And this is the physical contact of the literal representation of the application of God's grace in our lives, that it literally touches us in the place of our most vulnerability, in the place where we are in need of the healing the most, in the place where we are most vulnerable to receiving the influences that lead to being stained by the world, literally on our eyes. This is the temple gate of the soul. For so many of us, the images that we put into our mind affect our soul. And the hand of Jesus and the spittle represent the body and the word of Christ coming close, applying divine grace energetically. And all the healings in the Bible, many of the healings, I should say, are conveyed through the means of grace of the hand outstretched, of some sort of means of contact through the hands and the energy flowing through the hands. And the blessing of the patriarchs coming through the hands being laid upon the head of the Son from the Father and down through the generations. Anyway, then lastly, the fact is that healing doesn't happen all at once. We could even say and ponder and speculate that the resurrection didn't happen all at once. It's kind of like that scene in The Princess Bride where he wasn't really fully dead. He was kind of half dead. And they pump a little bit more into the air into the guy and he comes back to life, you know. And it's kind of like that, that Jesus' resurrection is this coming to, not all at once. And it's that way in our lives, I think, and it's represented by this man, that there's a healing that happens initially. It begins the process and we start to see a little bit clearer. And then that second application brings the fullness of sight. I find that to be very encouraging to me in my own humanity, in the places of my most vulnerability where I need the application of divine grace, that it comes little by little by little, not just twice a day in the silence, but twice a week, twice a month, twice a year, twice a decade. These moments of transformation come again and again and again and bring that relief and that healing that I need. And I think it's that way in all of our lives. And so it's both for the healer, wait for it. The healing is coming. Don't give up. Keep asking. The person being healed is required patience, trust, faith. But also for the healer and all the parents and all the grandparents out there and all the spouses who keep praying and praying and praying for this or that situation and nothing changes, or just little minuscule changes here and there. You get little signs of grace. But it's an encouragement to us to keep applying the divine grace, to keep reaching out and trusting that even the healer, the one offering the grace of healing and the prayer for others, needs to be patient, just as much as the one who needs to be healed needs to be patient. And there's a syncing up sometimes that takes time, and then it happens. So may all these principles encourage us as we enter into Lent to seek to be unstained from the energies of the world that distract our attention and drain us of energy, and bring that healing energy of the Word of Christ through the silence and the Eucharist to apply in exact and specific ways right where we need that grace. May it be so. Amen. Giving a tithe, gift, or offering, we remember the truth that God's love has always met and will always meet all our needs. We give freely and receive joyfully. The love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace of the Holy Spirit be with each of us. I thank you for your presence here tonight. Amen.